They were high school sweethearts who got married and had two kids. It's the Brainettes from a new location. They work all day, and that's okay. They're the Brainettes. She is a journalist, he is a walker. They talk about the news and whatever they want. In the fight for justice, they're on your side. You can't.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our low effort, low quality podcast. This is Liz Bruning. This is my husband, Matt.
Why not just start the day fucking it up?
Look, I'm very forgiving of all fuck ups except my own.
No one has the instinct or the will to execute anything real. They only execute failure.
That clip was at its peak funny when we played it to refer to the state of Alabama fucking up executions. It was at its most layered in that moment.
It was good.
It was a good one.
Remember this one?
I love the dialectic.
Oh, that's an oldie but a goodie. Yeah, no, I love the dialectic.
Remember
too.
When I was going to have like 1,000 of these?
Yeah.
And then I got to like 30 and I was like, damn, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Cut all this shit and change the levels. It's too much. We need an intern.
Yeah, we do. We need a Brunix intern. God, can you imagine what that would look like on a resume?
On a resume is what would they even do? I mean, they would add genuinely low effort.
They would add new clips, new drops.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's it.
What a horrible fucking task.
I was going to tell you. You should. I have a few suggestions for other types of theme song you should make. Do you make these?
No, someone sends them to me.
Okay. Well, if you're listening,
yeah,
out there,
he is a listener, obviously.
I think a K-pop one would be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And a Chappelle Roan. Can't do that. Would be really good.
It's too loud.
Yeah, it's too loud. There should be a rap version of the theme song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have. Yeah, we have.
Just some ideas.
What, don't I have a horn somewhere?
I feel like we should have a laugh track.
Yeah, we used to.
Yeah.
And then
the crickets are good.
I restarted. We have a crickets for sure.
Yeah, that's when you lay out on me.
Where the fuck are the crickets? Anyways, continue.
Yeah, welcome back.
Here they are. Oh, I actually cut this. So there's some that come with it. And then some I actually made.
You made the crickets one?
Well, I took it from a YouTube video.
Oh.
This was what I was looking for.
Yeah.
I also took that one from a video. We can play like little ambiance. Did you know that? Here, look like a crowd.
Oh, like we're filming in a cafe or something.
Yeah, we're doing a live show.
Yeah.
Could do that.
We should eventually do a live show. That'd be really funny.
Yeah, when I was on the Dumb Zone with Dan and Jake, I told their audience that... you know, because they do the $690 remotes where you can pay $690 and have them do it at your house.
Yeah.
That I would do it for $689.
Okay.
So I haven't gotten any emails yet, but I'm hoping.
No, I think you just, you got to pay them to do it at our house and then actually bully them into doing a whole group podcast.
I don't see the business sense of that, honestly.
You know, we'll just
you gotta
giggles.
Spend money to make money, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Good, yeah.
I mean, you gotta think about how the listeners would feel.
This one's called Car Interior Ambiance.
Listeners would fucking love that.
What do you think? Car Interior Ambiance.
Sounds like ASMR of riding in the car in the rain, which is what I listen to often. Yeah, you're just in a car that's going down the highway or whatever, and it's very relaxing.
Yeah. We can add rain. What's that?
Well, that rain sounds like it's inside the car. It should be hitting the car.
God.
It's just a different sound.
Okay. All right.
If you had ever really listened to
I'll work on it.
The rain while driving a car, laying down in the back seat, preferably.
I'll work on it.
You know, I'll get on my level.
It. You know.
One of the listeners sent in an audio grab bag.
Yeah, I watched it. Not good.
Oh. Okay, well, I'll get a second opinion on that going.
All right, we do have Trump, so we'll play him.
From the moment we take back the White House from crooked Joe Biden and Kamala, I call her Laughing Kamala. You ever watch her laugh? She's crazy. You know, you can tell a lot by a laugh. No, she's crazy. She's nuts. She's not as crazy as Nancy Pelosi, crazy Nancy. From the moment we...
They're kind of freaking out about Kamala, though. All they kind of got right now is just kind of loser crybaby shit about how that's not fair. We bought all this Let's Go Brandon merch and we can't sell it. And how are we going to win? You can't do a switcheroo on us. And I'm sorry, that's just loser shit.
It's crybaby shit.
They're
also complaining about how it's not fair that they have to campaign after the assassination attempt.
He pulled out of a debate that with Kamala.
Yeah.
You know, and they try to be like, well, we don't even know who the nominee is going to be. But, you know, it's just kind of, you know, like they're kind of scared of Kamala.
Yeah. He was like, not even the Obamas have endorsed Kamala, so it's totally unclear who the nominee will be.
Well, they have now.
Now they have. Yeah. So now what?
They're just afraid because, you know, it's hard to remember this from the debate because Biden was so bad, but Trump was also quite bad.
Yeah.
He's not looking so spry either.
No, he also trailed off at times and seemed kind of confused. I mean, he's good at his rallies and stuff where he can just kind of extemporaneously bullshit. But I felt like in a context where he was being asked specific questions or, you know, made to respond to certain statements, he wasn't really on the ball.
That's true. Yeah, he doesn't get to pick his own lines. He's got to make some effort to relate them to some question, which he may not have a specific bit for.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on today. I was not on Twitter too much today, but I'm seeing there's a whole bunch of Tim Walz, who's the governor of Minnesota, is saying that J.D. Vance is weird, and this has got a lot of people upset.
Who's upset about that?
Well, J.D. Vance is upset about it. A lot of conservatives are upset about it. They're like, you can't call us weird. We call you weird with, you know, because of, you know, gay and...
Yeah.
You know, drag queen story hour and stuff. You're the weird one.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. They're also calling you weird. So it's like not really a good move.
The classic retaliation to you're weird. No, you're weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what JD put on Twitter.
Yeah.
He put out JD Vance is weird. And then he put out a clip of Kamala. This is the clip. I haven't actually watched it yet. I mean, she's also weird. Like, that's the whole coconut. Well,
everyone in fucking politics is a freak of some kind.
Not Keith Ellison.
Yeah, Keith isn't. But I mean, at the national level, you rarely find people who are just like regular guys trying to do the right thing.
Hey guys, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and hers. Mine too. All right.
That's Chris Cuomo. That's not a bad line from Chris. I don't even know what he's trying to get at from there.
I think the funniest thing about it is it's not clear what the hell it means.
What is his move? Is he pronoun skeptical? I don't think he's a conservative.
That would just be such a douchebag way to introduce the fact that you're skeptical of the pronouns.
That's a great bit here.
To just be totally puzzling.
That's a great clip. Yeah, okay. He's totally puzzling.
My pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and hers. Mine too. All
right.
This is.
She just goes, "All right,
all right, all right." I don't know what to do with that. This was a CNN town hall that appears to have been from 2020. That was also sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign. So I guess that's why she's like, "Oh, this is what we're doing now."
Yeah,
you gotta just kind of aggressively say your pronouns, even though everyone knows. In this case,
yeah,
and Chris Cuomo just. Just riffing. Yeah. I'll give him that much. Anyways, what else we got here? I got to hang out with Steve Randy Waldman today.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
It went wonderful.
You had a good time?
Yeah, smart guy. Talked about computers and stuff. Interfluidity on Twitter.
Yeah, he sent us a great baby gift.
He did, yeah. He sent us a baby rocker thing that was like programmable and whatnot. Kind of cool.
And he cared when you got fired.
He did, yeah.
Which will be the deciding line between people who are allowed to live and people who will be slaughtered in the revolution.
Yeah. I mean, no.
How did you react when Matt got fired is the deciding question.
I think I'm over it now.
You're over it?
I mean, you know, it destroyed my life and I've never recovered from it, but I don't care. It's cool. It's whatever, you know? Like, you know, like you take someone like Michelle Goldberg who didn't behave correctly in response to that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was pretty bad, you know?
Yeah.
But it's whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really care anymore.
You know, I still care a lot. I care a lot.
Anyways, what was our bit today? So we don't have a whole lot of
when
news.
When I pray at night,
mm-hmm.
and I pray for the salvation of the whole world,
mm-hmm.
I add, except Neera Tanden.
I'm cool with Neera now.
I'm not cool with Neera.
Neera got her got reamed out when she was trying to become OMB chair. So, you know, I feel like, you know, the tallies are equal at this point.
I don't think so. She wasn't aggrieved. Someone called you a scumbag on the internet. Who fucking cares? The correct response to that is to forget all about it.
Yeah, but it's behind us. You know, we move forward. I'm, you know, at this point.
She really fucked up our experience of having our first child. We were both really depressed and upset. It just, you know, and that was Jane's babyhood. You don't get to do that again.
Well, you know, water under the bridge, as they say.
I wish bad things upon her.
You were going to read some Reddit threads, correctly?
Yeah, or, I'm going to read them incorrectly. Let's see. There were some freak show ones. This one's great.
Too loud.
God, it's so long, though.
Do you want to do ChatGPT summary?
Here you go, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Can't you give me the gist of this? These are train wrecks, right?
Yeah.
These are relationship train wrecks. Liz loves to read relationship train wrecks on Reddit where people ask questions about, you know, is this a train wreck? What should I do about my relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Liz, that's a big genre for Liz. I don't really get into it, but, you know, she curates. Because this is probably a lot to sift through, you know?
Yeah, it's huge, huge quantity of crap to sift through looking for gems. And I'm not sure I even succeed. This one, I just thought the title was really funny. My friend, male 18, is mean to me, male 18, whenever we're not having sex.
Mm.
Why would he be doing this? Like, this is not a classic young gay dude who's not dealing with it type behavior.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would he be doing? I need to know more, I guess. Are you in a relationship? He just has friends.
No, they're just friends.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, does the fact that they're gay even factor in here? I mean, is it not also a puzzling question if there was a male and female here?
it's like they were friends and they started having sex, and then they kind of had a falling out, but were still having sex.
Okay, well, what's the mystery here? He doesn't, you're not friends. Like, he doesn't like you, but he just likes having sex with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think the fact that they're both like teenage boys helps explain a lot of the
problem solved, brother. I figured it out for you. Next one.
Dump him.
Dump him. They're not even together.
Yeah. Dump him as a friend. You can dump a friend.
Well, they've already done that.
You've never seen a friend break up? They're fucking explosive.
No, I've never actually been involved in that.
Really?
No.
Where you have a falling out with someone who you were close with at one time?
Never.
How to handle a horrible night in a fairly new relationship. Female 26 and male 31. This is written by the 31-year-old male. Blah, blah, blah. 4 months ago, I began dating the one of the most amazing, beautiful, and vibrant women who's 26 I've ever met or been with. She is driven, smart, witty, amazing in so many different ways I can't even adequately describe her in words. We had instant chemistry, like an urgent feeling of needing each other before we even knew each other. So it turns out, and this is not the subject in question, but it turns out they started dating when the girlfriend's husband was deployed. Right, so she started seeing the current guy while her husband was overseas.
Okay.
In the army, which is something, I mean, it's such a typical.
The army wives. The
army wives, yeah. But anyway, he's like, that seemed like a red flag, but whatever, I moved past it. Flash forward to recently, we have had a very compatible sex life drive, and she has been open to trying all kinds of new things that she was interested in. Restraints, anal, stuff she had a hard time engaging in due to previous issues with people, but she felt she very much treasured with me and all of it felt safe. One evening, we were hanging out with friends drinking. I don't know exactly how or what happened, but typically I handle my alcohol really well.
Okay.
Yep.
No, probably not. Probably not. There's fucking mistake number one there.
It's always a great sign when someone says, usually I handle my alcohol very well.
I'm not normally like this, baby.
You know what's going to come after that. I got so incredibly drunk so fast, I had no idea what happened. I remember bits and pieces. Well, we started having sex after everyone left, and we started getting a little kinky. From what I remember, I was doing the usual stuff we do, but I was also very, very drunk, so I may have been more rough or something. But eventually, she asked me to stop, which I did. I remember being super drunk. I felt rejected to an extent. And then I undid her restraints and walked away, I believe.
Okay.
After that,
that's an upstanding thing, at least, to undo them first.
After that, I don't remember much clearly. She said she tried to talk to me and console me, but I pushed her away and went to the garage and punched a cardboard box. I know all of this is wrong, and I'm very aware it's not okay. Under any circumstances, alcohol or not, I've never been this kind of person before. I'm always respectful and considerate and kind. Blah, 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 blah. How to fix?
What to fix? Well, don't drink anymore, for one.
Yeah, but he's already committed to that, and she's saying, like, I need space. I need time to process this.
Yeah, well, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't have any, I mean, I don't think it should be fixed. I think she should dump it.
Maybe she should just move on.
Yeah. I think, you know, some guy who's like, this isn't how I actually am. Newsflash, that's how they actually are.
Yeah, I think that's probably false. But also, you know, I'm not big on drinking for a reason.
I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all.
I don't do it. Never have.
I figured, like, once I was in my 30s, I would try to drink a little, but I just never enjoyed it enough to drink to the point of drunkenness. Like, it just doesn't do anything for me, and it doesn't taste as good as Coke Zero, so I end up just moving on to Coke Zero.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could put alcohol in Coke Zero,
but you're just diluting the goodness of the Coke Zero with something that tastes bad.
Coke is gross. What does Coke taste like?
Fizz. Cola flavoring.
Cola. I don't get it.
It's just the mystery of it that makes it good. It tastes like nothing on Earth, you know? It's totally man-made phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
My 27 female boyfriend, 29 male, dad, 59 male, has been making inappropriate comments to some of our female employees. He's married, and I don't know if it's my business to get involved, but he needs to stop. What do I do? So this 27-year-old woman works in a small family company that work in wholesale and retail.
Mm-hmm.
The boyfriend's dad is a dentist and has been coming into their retail locations and making inappropriate comments to our employees.
Mm.
I will give you the most recent example known to me.
Oh, yes.
Last week, he came into our store just to browse, and he started talking to our employee. Now, she's an objectively attractive woman. He felt the need to let her know this by saying something along the lines of how one of his golfing buddies was in the store and said he only employees so men will hold a pillow over their thing while shopping and not even ask the prices.
I'm sorry. Run that through again.
It's not written in what...
Can you translate it into English?
Yeah. I think she's saying this guy came in just to browse and... said his golfing buddy, he like went up to this female employee and was like, hey, one of my golfing buddies just said to shop in here, you'd have to hold a pillow over yourself.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, because the employees are so attractive that you get an erection.
Yeah, that's the...
Cool.
That's the joke.
Cool.
His behavior... first got told to me about a month ago when he came into our store with some other man, and when they saw our employee's chest tattoo, he said something along the lines of, when they have them like that, you can just fuck them. You don't even have to ask. It's the new tramp stamp.
That's beyond... That's, one, that's Trumpian. But two, I mean, what is the question she's asking here? You have to actually... You're going to get fucking sued if you're not careful here.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what are the labor law institute?
Well, this is a hostile work environment.
Yeah.
For on sex discrimination grounds, obviously. So, you know, you got to get that consumer out of there.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that a consumer or customer could also make it a hostile work environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really. So if you're getting sexually harassed by customers, like working at Friendly's or whatever, and Friendly's doesn't do anything about it, you can sue them?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I didn't realize that was even an option.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
anything that creates an environment like that, employers can be held liable for harassment by non-employees if they know or should have known about the harassment and failed to take immediate and appropriate corrective action.
Wow.
That's the rule.
Okay.
So, there you go, from a labor lawyer.
There we go, yeah.
The more I don't even do that statute. I would try to find to get it in the NLRB.
Is that the EEOC?
Well, yeah, you could take it. You could just file a fucking lawsuit in federal district court if you want against the employer. That's probably what you would do, but not what I do. I only work with the administrative agencies.
So
I should probably learn how to do that.
Yeah. It might be, EEOC shit.
It might not. What is EEOC shit? That is administrative agency. Civil Rights Act stuff.
Sorry, I was looking at my computer.
Okay. ADA, all that shit. It's not that I don't know the rules. It's just that I've never like brought a complaint, you know?
Yeah.
And like done the, you know, I don't do that.
Yeah.
I probably should though, right? Instead of just being like, hey, okay, that's interesting. What if we turn this into an NLRB claim?
Yeah, I mean, it would broaden your prospects, but...
But at the same time, that little niche, sometimes you just want to sit in a little niche, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just sit in that little niche, be really good at that niche, you know?
Yeah. No, that's the way to go. You know one thing well rather than everything a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Guy I'm dating thinks he's a lot funnier than I personally find him. Conflicted on how I should approach this. So this is a 27-year-old woman dating a 26-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
Been seeing a guy for a few months, treats me amazing and is so sweet. I have a lot of respect for him as a person. He's a really great and respectable guy. The only thing is we have different senses of humor. I like a more subtle, dry style of humor, and his is more obvious dad jokes or typical boomer humor. It didn't really bother me that I don't totally get his humor because he's so lovely otherwise. And we live in the UK, so there are a lot of people around me, like friends and colleagues, who share my sense of humor.
Yeah, that's rough. It reminds me of, remember, Sabatucci?
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Oh, Lord, where it's like, okay, this is a genre of humor, and in a way, there probably are more people who find this funny than people who don't find it funny, you know, like in the overall population.
Yeah.
With all the sheep and the cows, you know?
Yeah.
But my cool intellectual friends prefer a different style of humor.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know what you do about that. I mean, obviously, in the case of Sabatucci, you just mercilessly mock him.
Yeah, he was very mockable.
This was a gentleman in our high school.
Somewhat reminiscent of a clown. In the way that clowns aren't funny. You know, it's like, well, they're certainly being weird. I don't know if it's funny. And that was kind of my impression.
Well, you think about something like Larry the Cable Guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? You watch that and none of it's funny.
Yeah.
But there are so many people who are just fully, just extremely entertained by it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just a lot, you know? A lot of humor is very dependent on circles and, you know, it's very stratified, the humor market, you know?
It's true. Yeah, that's true.
And like, it's rough because what do you do to be like, hey, yeah, no, so I'm in this niche.
Yeah.
Where we do like dark, ironic, subtle kind of humor and... we don't do like late night show humor.
Yeah. He said he is the funniest person he knows.
We don't say that about ourselves unless we're, you know, trying to, unless that's also meant to be funny in some kind of ridiculous, depressing way.
Fair enough. I don't agree, but it's subjective. That was a bit cringy to me, but nothing too deep. But he keeps describing himself as witty or extremely quick-witted when his idea of quick wit is very different than mine. Like, his idea of quick wit is saying the sky when I ask what's up, for example.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
That's a child.
Yeah, you're talking about an 8-year-old.
That's the humor. And he's like, I'm very quick witted.
Guess what, chicken butt all the time. I'm always got by it.
Every time.
I always go, what? Ah, and then I remember.
Yeah.
And I'm in for it now.
Yeah, you got to deal with it. Yeah. He made a very basic pun with one of my colleagues' names, one I'm sure he's heard a million times before, and proceeded to pat himself on the back all day. Not exaggerating. All day, as though it was the most groundbreaking joke of the century.
See, I mean, look, these are two separate problems, right?
Because, yeah, they are. They just combine in a really shitty way.
Yeah, because even if you are very funny, it's not funny or interesting to dwell on being very funny.
Yeah.
That negates the whole thing. So that's a whole... That is actually, I think, the deeper problem here. You
yeah.
know? And I don't know how you get that across to someone to be like, oh, you're supposed to be humorous, but not like bragging about being humorous. Like the comic is inherently a kind of like downbeat person who, you know, is self-deprecating and what have you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The combination of these things reminds me of a guy I know.
Do I know this guy?
You know this guy.
No.
This combination of not being funny but thinking you're extremely funny. You know what I mean?
Be careful. Be careful.
I know, but you know what I mean.
I know.
You know what I'm saying and you know what I mean.
I know.
It's an unfortunate genre of guy.
Yeah, I guess. I only know the one, I suppose.
There's a genre of guy that's like, I think I'm really funny. And then the reality is, and I am the judge of reality, is that they're not funny. It's just objectively unfunny.
Yeah, so, I used to be a lot funnier. And then I stopped.
You're pretty funny.
And then I was like, I don't really got it, you know?
What? I had no idea you had this understanding of yourself. Mm. That's...
Yeah, I used to tell a lot more jokes. And you then never I was did. Like, well, before you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Before you took all the humor out of me.
Yeah, it must have taken all the humor out of your life.
Because humor, you know, comes from a place of joy, you know?
Yeah, it's true. So. And now you're completely devoid of all joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty devoid of joy when I saw all the shit that I was going to have to take out of plastic packaging after Claire's birthday party.
Some people don't tell you is yeah. that consumption actually sucks. And I've been on this line for a long time that it's not fun to consume because it's a lot of work. A lot of work and effort goes into it, especially that kind of consumption. Food and all that kind of stuff, you know, obviously you have to do it. But for some reason, it's also like not a huge hassle to consume. But consumer products, clothing with like the boxes and the wrappers and the, oh my God.
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass.
I think the kids don't think of it that way because they can offload the labor onto me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, you also similarly onto me. So it all kind of, I just kind of am like a little sink for the byproducts of consumption that I have to like get down into the dumpster or whatever.
Yeah, I think out of this collection of weird advice requests, it's the I get drunk and become sexually cruel guy who does it for me. For one, just like I find unfunny shit to be objectively unfunny and believe that in its own nature it is not funny at all. I judge humor that is subtle and actually kind of funny.
At humorous interpretation events?
No, I just judge it to be better, to be superior.
I see.
You know,
I see. I thought you were saying you judge it, like fill out your ballot and stuff.
Maybe. I know what's funny. Show me some kids trying to be funny and I'll be like, nope, no votes.
Think about, I've never read this before, but when we did speech and debate, you know, there were this other half of the people who would do competitive acting events.
Yeah.
And one of them would essentially it's like a one-man play kind of thing, but it would be humorous.
Yeah.
So you'd take some bit of theater or whatever, I guess it could be any published work, and you would cut it up and you would read it essentially and act it out in some way. And it would have to be funny. Now think about having to fucking watch that and then having to write down your rationale for who won.
Yeah.
Not just rank them, but you have to like write a few paragraphs about why this was funny or not, you know? I just can't imagine how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know? What do you even say?
You fucking got me.
I would love to read one of these. You're just like, I mean, I guess you criticize the execution maybe, or you give some tips on how it could have been funnier. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
also,
know.
Also, like, the content itself is...
It's not funny.
Right. Like, you don't produce the content. Like, that's the crazy thing to me. It would be one thing if it was kind of like, we're going to do, like, compare 5-minute sets, you know?
Yeah.
That like stand-up sets that you would just come up with. Okay, that's kind of an interesting idea. At least you get to write your own. You're just taking some other thing. And so what do? You'd be like, get a different piece of work. Get a different piece of literature to read. Like, this one's not that good. I don't know. It's weird. The fucking oral interpretation shit doesn't make any sense to me.
Here's a crazy one that had a lot of twists and turns for me. It's infuriating. Don't worry. I don't pick the ones that aren't infuriating. We've been together 10 years. Oh, here's the title. My husband, 28-year-old male, wants anal, but I, 26-year-old female, don't. What is your opinion?
Let's start with don't do it, because, you know, you probably should have both, should probably be on board.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to start there without knowing any other details. That's my bias coming in. Let's see if I can be persuaded by the particulars to not need a mutual buy-in to a sex act.
What I thought was funny about this one, though it's infuriating, and we'll get there, is that I could perfectly visualize the type of guy this is. Anyway, we've been married 10 years and have 2 children. From the moment we met, he's wanted to try anal. I've said a few times, maybe in a few years, I'll be ready, but it's unlikely. In the last year or so, I flat out have said no. I've expressed multiple concerns, that the biggest being that I had some pretty traumatic medical procedures done in that area as a child, and it makes me feel physically ill when he goes near it. There's been a lot of accidental touches from him during regular sex that has completely ended my enjoyment of the moment. Last week, he surprised me and said, I got you a gift. He bought me butt plugs so I could practice and not be nervous for, quote, the real thing. Almost every day after he got them, he's asked me if I've used them yet and when I'm going to. I told him I never said I was going to, and then in the heat of the moment, I told him that if he used them, I might consider it. Well, he did.
Interesting.
And I know. Well, he did it, and it's only ramped up his pushy behavior. I feel like over many arguments and me explaining my trauma
agreement.
And the physical reaction he gives me, should I just leave it? In other areas, he's very caring, but this feels like such a small thing to be a deal breaker in a 10-year relationship. Thoughts?
A small deal breaker for who?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question.
Okay.
But that's it. That's the post.
This kind of psycho behavior,
isn't
really.
Because
you know that that's not an actual offer, and then you do it.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, that's kind of weird to do it. And then when you know, and then what? And then you're like, you're going to pretend like it was a real offer. And then how's that going to go? Like, how do you think that's actually going to persuade someone to be like, oh, technically you said this. You can't believe that, but you want it so much that you know, or maybe he just said he did it. I mean, how does she know?
He's
is he documenting his butt plug journey?
I wouldn't trust this guy as far as I could throw him. 10 years this guy has hounded this woman. I mean, the type of dude this is the type of dude who's a child. Got something in his head that he has to have because everybody else has it except me. I'm the only one. And it's porn-based and has to do with, errant desires to begin with. And then he just won't accept what is being communicated by the, like, I don't know, maybe in a few years. Well, probably not. No, I'm just saying no. He just is absolutely ironclad against that kind of shit, because his plan is just to wear her down the way a child wants to wear you down.
Oh, that's a good point. They do try that. Doesn't work on me.
I mean, that is their go-to when they're told no, or they intuit a no, is just to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking.
Yeah, it's very ingrained. That's the thing I've learned. This is a deeply human evolved characteristic.
Yeah.
Because even with 100% failure rate, they don't change the strategy. So it's something that's, you know, just real deep in there.
Yeah. Did you notice the other interesting thing mathematically going on here? 26-year-old female, we have been together 10 years.
Well, he's 28, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
no,
that's...
No, there wasn't anything illegal going on.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Most states would have a 2-year or 3-year...
sliding law, right?
Yeah, rule, so, yeah.
2 children in that time period. It's like, dude, how have you... How have you not changed? over 10 years.
Look, I don't mean to be too personal here, but I don't really... if someone doesn't want to do something, it's hard for me to get why it would be exciting to do it to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's where the porn comes in.
Aren't you kind of hoping that they're having fun a little? Isn't that part of the game here, you know?
You doesn't know appear to be part of the game, no. I think
you... don't think so? It's like you don't want to, you know, like, oh, this person likes me. They're, you know, we're having mutual enjoyment. That's nice. Not just like this person hates this. Like, I think that would be a real fucking mood killer if person hated what I was doing.
She's like, it makes me feel physically ill. And she has explained this to him. And he's like, but what if I ask again? What if I really push it by bringing you props?
But like, if you succeed,
yeah,
the act itself seems like it would still not be very fun unless you're kind of have fucked up, you know, antisocial tendencies.
It's the porn, man. It's the porn.
I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And porn is the lady meant to not being like, is that how it's presented? I guess in some, but not, I mean, generally, don't they pretend to like it?
I can't say. I can't say.
Me neither, of course.
But my impression in terms of it's the porn is just that porn is a highly solitary activity. And it conditions you to think of sexuality and sex solitarily.
I see what you mean. So it's not that it's a literal copying of it. It's just that it makes it a personal thing as opposed to a social thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
and
gotcha.
It becomes sort of maniacally about me and what am I allowed to do and what can I get away with, etc. Because it's a private journey that the other person is sort of intruding on with their own wishes and desires.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting theory.
That's porn brain. That's what happens when you get porn brained.
That is the essence of porn brain, is the individualizing of the sex act.
In my opinion, that's the grand unifying theory.
I see. I thought it was just wanting to copy what you saw and kind of getting so amped up hedonically on those things that regular sex is not appealing.
Yeah, I just think that can be, and that's a totally acceptable definition of porn brain in the general use. But
definition number one.
Definition number one of porn brain.
Mm, and then we go to alt number two.
I just think that fits under the heading of a result of something that is social becoming solitary.
I feel you.
Right.
I feel you. Yeah, they're close cousins, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just one woman's opinion.
Could be right, could be wrong.
Could be right, could be wrong.
No one will ever know. It's hard to study.
Yeah. No, there'll never be a final diagnosis here.
I apologize because I didn't really bring anything to the table today.
How do you feel about how VD Jantz is doing?
Seems to be doing poorly.
Yeah. What did you, do you have an opinion on whether or not it's true he fucked a couch?
It seems like it's not true that was in the book.
Yeah.
Right? And then people are saying, haha, that doesn't mean it's not true.
Well,
fair enough.
Fair enough, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not, look, people, especially children, not children, but, you know, adolescents, people who are coming of sexual maturity probably do lots of weird things, right? Isn't that the premise of, like, what was it, like American Pie and, like, like a peanut butter jar or whatever, right? This is a lot of, like, comical things in the... you know, cultural milieu about clumsy boys trying to find ways to do that. And I suppose like couch cushion, women as well, right? Isn't there like counter corners? Isn't that a thing? Like the corner of like a table or something? Not a joke people make sometimes.
make the joke?
Well, that's a way of masturbating if you're a woman or a girl or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Is that not the equivalent? Or shower heads or whatever?
Yeah, shower heads, definitely.
You've not seen the like corner of a counter kind of bit people have talked about?
Well, my understanding is those are sharp.
Not all of them. Some of them are curved. You really haven't seen this? I thought you consume so much shit.
Excuse me?
You know, you're a big consumer of media.
I mean, I see a lot of media. What? I'm not following. I just don't understand what the hell could possibly be going on.
I Googled it. And fucking, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
I've just never seen or heard a woman talking about that.
There it is on Twitter. Excuse me, Reddit. There's a whole subreddit dedicated to it. And Pornhub genre here. Counter corner masturbation porn videos. Desk corner masturbation porn videos. Anyways, this is aside the point.
Why would girls buy vibrators if counter corners are ubiquitous? And I mean, what the hell? Why would...
It's not that, but why do fucking peanut butter jar? Why do an apple pie? It's sort of like the availability of a young person who can't just go buy something and is still like...
Do they not realize they have hands? I mean,
is this really, you're not familiar with this sort of clumsy, opportunistic masturbation bit that people talk about? Are you just saying they shouldn't do it because there's better ways to do it?
I've just known a lot of women and this has literally never come up.
Hairbrush?
Sure, that's like feasibly phallic.
All right.
We're talking about something that is a right angle.
I mean, I just proved it to you with the internet, so I don't know. What do we,
also,
you know?
Counters are quite high off the ground.
Well, you're very short.
Yeah, maybe I'm just too short for this meme.
But I think you could sit on it as well.
Sit on it and do what? Sit on the right angle of a counter? Oh, this feels great. What?
Do I need to pull up these videos to show you how it's done? Imagine that running, because I've got the audio set up where you can hear whatever I play on my computer. Imagine just popping on some porn app.
Well, I'm going to survey my friends.
Look, I'm not saying you're... I'm just saying this is a thing people joke about, like a sort of clumsy thing. People and couches, why not? Why not in between couches? Couch cushions, that's probably a thing too, yeah?
Yes.
So, really fucking stop down for that.
Hello, ladies. I have a survey question. This is in my girls' group chat.
Well, you can get this shit answered right now. It's goddamn 11 o'clock.
I will get it answered right now. Have you ever masturbated using a counter corner?
Please also include, are you familiar with the general bit here? I know it's not enough to say, did they literally, because most
people... If they've
people,
done it, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
No. Because I've never with a fucking jar of peanut butter, but I know the bit. I've heard of the thing.
All right, well, they'll be like, I've heard of it, but I haven't.
Okay. All right.
I have never in my life heard of this. We'll see what the group chat says.
Okay.
I'll let you know if they're ruling.
Yeah, I guess we got 10 minutes, so I don't know how quick your friends are. Mine do not text back that quickly.
Well, it's the girls' group chat. Everything in there is considered an emergency.
I guess that's the problem.
Yeah. You gotta follow up on the girls' chat.
I was in one and then I left it. And then you were like, this is probably offensive.
It was so mean. This very sweet girl who is a friend of mine and a friend of the friend put Matt in a group chat with all of us. And it was so fun and it was just like memes and stuff. And Matt was just like leaving.
I never said anything in the chat.
Yeah.
I never sent a single message.
Interesting. Yeah. I thought you were contributing.
No, I just was sitting there and I was like, this is a lot of messages. My phone keeps vibrating and then I look up and it's not something I'm looking to read. And so I was like, well, naturally you should just probably leave the group, you know? Like, why continue on? I never was requested to be in this group.
Yeah, well,
I didn't, and I thought this was more of like a planning thing because it was created prior to everyone like meeting up at some point. And I thought, okay, so that was that, but that's well past. So I don't know why people keep posting it here. But apparently this is an offensive thing to do. I don't know. I guess I've never left a group chat, but I'm not really in any group chats. I'm barely in any chats at all.
No, you definitely have chats. You're like single. Acting like you don't have any friends.
I have a few
bullshit.
Single, you know, one-on-one chats, but I don't have group chats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I have a single one. Well, except for the one with the, you know, you, me, and the friend.
But yeah.
That's pretty much it.
A group chat is just like someone coming up to you and starting a conversation. Like, just imagine that you're standing around and some people walk up and are like, hey, and they just want to leave that open. All right.
I guess. Oh, you got an answer?
One vote is to the question, have you heard of this? Yeah, I guess.
There you go. Victory. Victory. Victory.
She's never done it, though.
Okay, well, still.
We're still waiting on three women here.
No. Just a single one is all you need to indicate, you know. Because even with three, that's a 25%. Like, because that's a thing.
So
know?
I'm understanding this is an adolescent genre of porn, no? It's about the clumsy...
It's not a porn
young.
Genre. I don't, it's not, you don't, it's
you said
not,
there's a whole separate.
Because I was searching to be like, people, it's a sort of humorous, clumsy thing like the peanut butter or the couch
comic,
cushion.
Comedic porn.
It's not porn. It's not porn. That's not the, you know what I'm saying?
It's
a story that people tell about coming of age, clumsy masturbation that people, you know, do because they don't have other options and they're kind of still figuring it out and piece it together and they're not, and like that's a thing.
So the subreddit is devoted to text.
What?
It's where people, it's a story people tell to each other. So it's just guys who sit around reading the stories.
No, God, am I really going to go through this subreddit?
Then it is a genre of porn.
Should I have opened this?
No, don't click on that.
Yeah, you're right. This one is. Well, this one isn't. It's not the subreddit I'm looking at. I don't know. I don't want to go too far and start handing out the names of pornographic subreddits. It just seems like a little too far.
Yeah.
I mean, even after all this, there is a line.
Yeah, there's a line. Look, it's incredible. You lived to 33 years and there's still shit you can learn. Look at that.
Yeah, not me, though.
Yeah, no,
you're
on top of all of it.
So there's nothing I can learn.
Except about why it's not nice to leave group chats without ever saying anything.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So what is the... Give me some more of the social manners of group chat. Now, I would have thought that if a group chat would... It would be kind of bad manners to just throw someone in a group chat.
No, because if you don't want to be in there, you can just leave. But you're doing...
And that's what I did.
Okay, but when you leave, you must be aware you're doing something to the feelings of the people who added you in there. Because they were like, oh, this will be a fun...
So am I not supposed to leave? Or I'm supposed to just nut up and be like, too bad?
You can leave... I would...
Is there a way to leave that's better? Do I need to say, hey guys, I'm real busy. I can't read all these messages. I've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, or like, you know, something a little more artful than that. You could say something like, I'm getting so many notifications. I'm going to pop out. Love you guys. You know, that's understood.
I didn't dislike anybody in the thread. I liked everyone. I thought they were all great, but I just didn't want to carry on.
Yeah, well, when someone adds you to a chat, they want to talk to you. And so the question is, how do you handle it if you don't want to talk to them?
Interesting. I didn't realize that, you know, I figured that was just because, well, everyone's meeting up and there's like some logistical things that had to be worked out. Not that I in particular was being sought after for a group chat.
No, yeah, you were being sought after to communicate with.
Yeah, in a narrow logistical period. That was my reading of it, but you're saying that's not correct.
Sarah says, I don't know of anyone who did it for real.
For real, but she knows of the fucking thing.
She knows of it. She knows of it.
There you go.
But I'm explaining why I, as a woman, have never even heard of this.
I'm just gonna keep playing the bike bells and the lasers.
How about you? Did you get coconut pilled at all?
No, I'm not going for that stuff.
You don't like the memes?
No. Are people serious about this? Like Kamala is a legit freak. Like, it's not endearing. It's off-putting and weird. That's why she dropped out of the 2020 primary before a single vote was cast.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
I think...
And I mean, it's kind of wild that, like, she managed to piece it together to where she didn't have to win a primary. She got picked for Biden's VP because he was trying to kind of, you know, broaden his appeal as an old white man who also used to be pretty racist. Like, yeah. You know? And that's what you do. And so he did. And then, you know, he bowed out at the precise time where you couldn't have a primary. Like, if he had said, I'm not running for re-election 2 years ago, does Harris win the primary? I don't know. Probably not, right? Like, she's not that compelling. And so, whatever. I mean, you do what you got to do at this point. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm real enthralled by Kamala. And I thought people were joking. I think still people are, but maybe they're sort of forgetting that they were joking at first, talking themselves into some kind of enthusiasm.
Yeah, you can't meme yourself into anything. That's not good. It's always bad. Meme brain is just as dangerous as porn brain. In that you start memeing it and then you come to believe it. That's a real problem.
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't actually care that she's weird.
Yeah.
And now everyone's weird because J.D. Vance is weird. Like, both the VPs, well, I guess now the P is weird.
Yeah.
Trump's fucking weird. I don't know who she's going to pick for her vice president.
People are saying she should pick Tim Walz because he's never been a lawyer.
Tim Walz is that guy that did the free school lunch in Minnesota. I mean, I liked his speech about that. That's the only thing I really know about him. But yeah, a lot of progressives like Tim Walz now. But, you know, also just like, what does she believe? What is she even for? What is she, you know what I mean? It's kind of a weird situation. But I'll give her this. As soon as she became the nominee, she really started kind of distancing herself from Israel. So one thing I think is interesting about that is there's a kind of person out there who will make defenses for what the Democrats have done on Israel, you know, supporting, you know, pretty brutal and hard to justify campaign there in Gaza. Sending all the aid, the weapons, running political interference in the international institutions and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they'll say, I don't think Dems. They'll say that the Dems are just doing that for political reasons.
Yeah.
Right? They know deep down that this isn't right, but the American public thinks, you know, it's pro-Israel, so they're trying to kind of, you know, thread that needle and whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I think the Kamala thing is interesting because, to my mind, what she's doing is far more politically savvy. Now, I don't know if she actually believes it, but it's an indicator of, well, what happens if you put someone in there who really is just trying her best with the pros she has available to her to navigate the political waters, right? Because that's essentially what she's doing.
Yeah.
She doesn't have, there's no like core set of Kamala issues that you can really think about. And when you are actually trying to be essentially kind of like a cynical triangulator, you decide to distance from it. Because you go, what's the point? Why piss off a whole bunch of people who might abstain from voting for me when I can take a very sensible position, which is something like, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. October 7th was horrific. Israel's right to defend itself. But they do not have a right to just completely annihilate and wipe out an entire, you know, population of people, most of whom are innocent. You know, that's the fucking easy triangle. And that's kind of seems like where she's walking towards. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know. I think Dems the elected Democrats were not cynical in the way that they supported Israel. They just really believed in the cause and were willing to take political hits to do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of wild because, you know, how frequently are politicians so earnestly supportive of something that they're willing to do it even though it carries a political cost? Not very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things they are. I don't know. I have found that to be very illuminating, you know?
Yeah.
Because we know, I mean, well, I know some of the pros that are now running the Kamala campaign, you mm-hmm. know? And they're pros. They know what they're doing, you know, as best as anyone else does. And they're calculating that, yeah, no, actually, you shouldn't. You should distance here.
Like, yeah.
It's not good. People don't like those images. It's, you know, try not to associate with them. But
yeah.
Anyway.
We'll see if you get coconut pilled as the race wages on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing, I mean, she seems to be doing quite well in the polls.
She raised a lot of money.
Well, she raised a lot of money in the recent polls in the battleground states has her ahead by like 2-3 points in each of them, which is pretty impressive because before Biden was down by like 2-3 points, like she's had like a 6-point swing here, and we haven't even had the convention yet where there's supposed to be a little bit of a bump and whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the thing that's, it is what it is, right? Like, I would like to see, well, I don't know, we had this decision today in not today but last week in Texas federal district court where at least in the Fifth Circuit, it looks like they're going to say the NLRB doesn't, because of the way it's structured, as far as the ability to remove the administrative law judges.
Yeah.
They are insulated from removal. Like the president can't just come in and fire all the ALJs.
Yeah.
And the board members are also somewhat insulated from removal. That for that reason, the structure of the agency is unconstitutional and therefore can't operate, at least as structured. And, you know, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is it would be nice to definitely keep like a Bruzzo and the Dem majority at the NLRB, but also it seems like we're going to be fighting these like constitutionality challenges for a while. And then the flip side is we're not going to have an open primary until, I think I said this before, but until 2032. That's just a long time, man. Someone who does policy. Like normally you'll get an open primary for your side at least once every 8 years.
Yeah.
Because that's how it goes, right? Either you lost the presidency, in which case the next four years later, you're going to have an open primary. Or you win the presidency, in which case the next time around, you're not going to have an open primary because you're going to be the incumbent. But 8 years later, you're going to have an open primary because there's a two-term limit.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of how any given election turns out, you are either 4 or 8 years away from an open primary. But because we didn't have an open primary this time, we didn't get it this time. And then if Kamala wins, we're not going to get it next time. And so our next open primary is 2032, which means we've gone 12 years without an open primary. And, you know, it is what it is, but you think about what the open primary did for the left last time, right? That's where you can really get in there, get your kind of socialist candidate out there and see what you can do.
Yeah.
You know? That is the stage where you can do that. Of course, we need to be winning locally and we need to get some members of Congress. I get all that. But like, you can't deny that Bernie and maybe someone like Bernie being able to get out there on the national stage and make the case against other Democrats is hugely, hugely beneficial to the left and the development of the left and bringing more people over to the left, right? Like I would say Bernie probably moved the Democratic Party from being, you know, maybe 5 to 10% on this kind of left social democratic edge to maybe 30% on this left social democratic edge. And we're going to go 12 years before we get to do it again.
That is depressing.
And I mean, it'll be 8 years from now, but 12 years from 2020 before we get to do it again. And that's rough. That's rough. But, you know, that's only if she wins, right? And I guess if she wins, at least, you know, get to keep certain things running, the NLRB and stuff. Unless, of course, it's unconstitutional, in which case, who cares?
Yeah.
Then you don't even get that. Though I will say, and I haven't commented on this too much, for people who are interested in that, because we have our labor heads who follow.
There's a lot of labor heads in the listeners, among the listeners.
I mean, one possible outcome here would be that it goes up to the Supreme Court. They say that, yes, you can't have it to where the administrative law judges and the board members have this level of insulation from the president being able to just fire them.
Yeah.
But instead of just saying, therefore, the NLRB can't operate, they'll just say, therefore, you know, that part of the statute that insulates them is we're going to strike that and make it so that the president can fire them. You know?
Yeah.
And that probably wouldn't really change a whole lot, you know?
Yeah.
Like a little bit, I guess, you know, if you get a president in there who wants to fire, you know, what they think of as like liberal ALJs and bring in conservative ALJs, you know? But at the end of the day, the administrative law judges they're kind of like lower courts.
Yeah.
In that they are really looking at what the current board law is and trying to reach decisions based on that. And if they kind of go off the reservation, the board's just going to reverse them anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, if that's all you want is you want to make it to where the president technically has the ability to fire them, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
The big deal is that in the meantime, we have all these injunctions and stuff that say the agency can't operate while we're waiting for, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a procedural delay thing. So, you know, not to drop into that, but I don't know. Look, there's nothing we can do. We don't have any left-wing candidates in there. I tried to weasel in a little bit, see if I could get some purchase in the Kamala world, and have not succeeded. So we're just sitting on the outside, and you know, we're like everyone else now.
Yeah.
Like for 8 years there, I feel like, well, I'm at least for me, you know, I'm mixing it up. I'm involved in the presidential election in a fairly direct way, you know, helping write policy, helping push it out there for our guy. And now we're just kind of spectators, and in a way that's very freeing because you're just like, see what happens.
Yeah.
The Dems are going to do what they're going to do. I'm not part of it.
And yeah, it's not my fault.
She wins, she wins. I guess that's good. She loses. At least there's an open primary in 4 years. I don't know. But it's out of my hands, so I can't get too worked up about it. It's kind of how I feel these days.
Yeah.
I'll react to whatever happens, you know what I mean?
It's
like, whatever's happened is going to happen, and my job is to figure out how do I react to it and navigate it, as opposed to fretting over, you know, what's going to happen, because I just am not involved anymore.
Yeah.
And until we get another primary where I can sign up for, you know, the left-wing candidate, I'm not going to probably be too involved, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll keep feeding bills to the left-wing members of Congress, you know, put those out, get 10 co-sponsors or whatever. But that's kind of the extent of it. And try to influence people. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't know where I'm going with all that. But I guess we've reached our end.
Yeah. Sorry for this insane, weird podcast. But
it was all. I think it was really good when we, for some reason, got very heated about the corners of...
counters.
Yeah, when we started to get mean and angry at each other about it.
I'm going to solid. Make sure all the countertops in my house are perfectly circular to dissuade sinning.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I was thinking rounded. I was like, no, I think the rounded is...
No, I mean like perfectly circular, as in King Arthur and the Round Table.
Yes.
I'm thinking of the island, which has too many angles on it, now that I think of it. It's got to become a perfect circle, maybe a sphere.
Yeah. You want to do a lot of things to the island.
Got big plans for the island. Big plans. Let's see if you get your attorney's fees from the NLRB. And then the island is hopefully going to undergo a beautiful metamorphosis.
I love it the way it is, honestly. So we'll probably flip a coin because our preferences are just so strong. Mine, I just really just like the way it looks at present. And I know
looks
you would
like shit, Matt.
Well, I get that's your preference, but I just like the aesthetic of it so much. And I know you prefer a different aesthetic, so really we'll just have to flip a coin, I think.
Such bullshit.
All right, well, how else would you resolve, you know, these kinds of just raw preference, aesthetic preference, you know? There's no debating taste, you know? It's just different.
Well, I was just going to try wearing you down by asking a lot.
It does work for you, actually, weirdly, even though it doesn't work for the children. I'm much harder on the kids than I am you.
Yeah, but the other...
But you're an adult. I have to treat you as an equal.
Yeah, I don't earn it, but...
Fucking woke made me do that.
It's true. Just another one on the hit list of woke.
Just killing me.
All right, folks. We'll be back next week. Promise. We promise.
We've been killing it.
Okay. All right.
Right?
Maybe, you know.
Look at the numbers. We're hitting it once a week now, so.
We're going to bring you Olympics updates next time.
Yeah, I was watching, apparently, teenage girl skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, like, women skateboarding is all, like, 13-year-olds for some reason.
Interesting.
And water polo. Handball. I love handball. I actually think I would be good at handball.
Yeah.
remember that German friend we had who did handball?
Yeah, I do.
And then he moved back to Germany because he was afraid of school shootings.
Yeah, that's totally fair, man.
I don't know. Dude, brother, chill out.
I'm very scared of school shootings, too.
I mean, but, you know, of all the risks, what about driving, you know?
I'm worried about that as well.
Okay.
Adios, mofo.